Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
We are in week two of a series called A Bold Church. Everyone say A Bold Church. Now say it with some passion. Say A Bold Church. Yeah, on March... Let's see, I better get this date correct. On March 10th, 2009, God gave the gift that keeps on giving to the world, and that is my favorite daughter, Avery. She was born 15 years ago last Sunday. Raise your hand, Avery. She's the greatest person on the planet. If you know her, can you give her a round of applause? Because she is. She breathes her first breath. She experienced new life. It's a brand new beginning. God had already been working on her for months before that, but the moment she was born, something new began. But she wasn't just born into the atmosphere. She was born and given and placed into a family. She has the greatest mom on the planet. She has the wisest, most gifted, talented father you could ever possibly. She's got the greatest sister. You can't even conceive how great her sister is. And God gave her that family because he wanted her to flourish. And he knew that she needed a family that was optimal for her flourishing. God knew that she couldn't do it alone. And God knew that her family needed her. And as a family, we want her to go for it. We want her to swing for the fences, right? We want her to dream big. We want her to take risks. We want her to live her life to the fullest. She is a God who loves her, a purpose to fulfill, and people to influence. When you're here right now, when you got saved, you were born again. Not physically, but spiritually. God gave you a new life. A new breath, a fresh start. And then just like with Avery, God gave you a family that's optimal for your flourishing. It's called the church. And the beauty is there's the Big C Church, which is meeting all around the world right now. But God placed you specifically in a beautiful family right here called the Movement Church. The church is not a building. The church is people. And he placed you here because it's optimal for your flourishing. And look at me, you can't do it alone. You need your church family. Hey, look at me, we can't do it alone. We need you. This is God's great design. You have a God who loves you. You have a purpose to fulfill. And you have people to influence. And just like with Avery, we want you to go for it in life. To swing for the fences, to dream big, to take risks, to believe God is going to do the miraculous, because that's what a church family does. At the Movement Church, we are a bold church. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're a bold church. We want you to go for it. We don't want you to slip into convenient, comfortable Christianity. We're not trying to build a country club for Christians. We are here to aggressively pursue our purpose, to aggressively love and encourage each other, and to aggressively reach the people who are not here yet. And that, my friends, is the beauty of the church. What a privilege that we get to be a part of this. It's been going on for thousands of years. Jesus came for two reasons: to seek and save the lost, and to establish his church. And we get to be a part of it. In this series, we're talking about bold, being bold with our prayers. Pastor Megan dropped some fire last week. She talked about prayer, and then God kind of put her to the test. Let's see how bold your prayers are. And it was the greatest, quietest week in my home when she didn't have a voice. And then I got bored because we couldn't talk. I was like, if I could mute you when I need... No, I'm kidding. She didn't think that joke was funny. You shouldn't either. And you know it's not true sometimes. Today, I want to talk to you about bold worship. I want to talk to you about bold worship. Is that cool with you? Even if it's not, I'm going to do it anyway. So if you need to leave, it's cool. But let's pray. Before we do that, let's posture our hearts. I always love that. Let's pray. Everybody goes, assume the position. You know why we close our eyes when we pray? Because your faith is stronger when you're... No. It removes distractions. In fact, everybody just take a minute and just close your eyes for a second. Everybody take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. And let's just posture our hearts for God to do the miraculous today. God, we thank you that you're already here. We thank you that you're doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Father, continue to move like only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. I hope the person behind you had good breath when they exhaled, because that could have been pretty rough, huh? Hey, I want to read a poem to you, a couple poems. And maybe once you catch this, if you can identify or you know it and it kind of connects with you, then you can join in with me. But the first one goes like this. The clock strikes upon the hour and the sun begins to fade. Still enough time to figure out how to chase my blues away. I've done all right up till now. It's the light of day that shows me how. And when the night falls, loneliness calls. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the with somebody. Yeah, I want to. Come on. You know that poem. We couldn't play it because YouTube and Spotify would cut us off. Okay, here's another one. Maybe you know this. It didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Come on. Come on. Hey now. Get paid. Come on, right here. Man, give yourself a round of applause. I've got another one. Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time. I don't know what to do. I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Come on. Forever's gonna start tonight. Once upon a time, but now I'm only falling apart. Come on. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart. Are you liking this right now? I got one more, and I'm not responsible for what is about to happen. I am not responsible. Do not get mad at me. Because she wears high heels, and I wear sneakers. She's the cheer captain, and I'm on the bleachers. Dreaming about the day when you wake up and find that what you're... Come on, if you could see. I've been here all along.
So why can't you see? You belong with me.
All right, give yourself a round of applause. I tried to hit every generation. I didn't have any Hall & Oates. I apologize. No Doobie Brothers for my older generation. I thought about some, you know, Dr. Dre, but no lyrics were clean enough, so I was a little disappointed. But music matters, right? Like, even just singing, that's not the same as if our band had performed it. Some of you wanted to stand up. I almost brought out the wobble because I know some of y'all would have jumped up, right, immediately. Music matters. It moves. It moves. It heals. It connects. And it doesn't even matter what your genre is. It matters. And there's a reason, because our soul is connected and moved by music. And there's a reason that God established worship as a key component of our faith, to remove worship from our faith, in essence, is to tell God that he got it wrong. And worship looks and feels different to so many different people, but the essence of it is still the same. And worship is to bring honor and glory to God. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Numbers, when God first established the physical building of the church, it wasn't even a building, it was a tent. And the tent was called a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was established when the children of Israel had recently fled the slavery in Egypt and are now wandering the desert for 40 years. And they would establish the tabernacle as they would move through the desert. The tabernacle would be built first. And then around the tabernacle, the tribe of Levi would center their tents all around and facing towards the tabernacle. And subsequently, each of the 12 tribes would establish their tents facing the direction of the tabernacle. And the Bible says that when the presence of God would show up, there would be a cloud that would descend upon the tent, and the entire body of believers, all of the children of Israel, would get out and they would worship the true and living God. And this was a type and shadow of how you and I, as followers of Jesus, are called to live. That our life is centered on the worship of who God is. That everything I do is focused on Him and Him alone. Everything else in my life is all about me pointing people to Jesus and re-surrendering my heart to who He is. That is the act of worship. All throughout Scripture, we see this, especially in the Old Testament. And you might go, why? Why is worship so significant? Why does this matter? Why does God care about this so much? And that's because what you worship shapes you. What you worship shapes you. You become like what you worship. Worship is adoration. And all of us in this room, we adore things. Let me tell you how you know what you adore. You adore what you always have money for. You adore what you always have. You know, no matter how broke I am trying to put a kid through college, I'll always find a way to play some golf. Can I get an amen from somebody? Like, I might be playing in my neighbor's front yard, like chopping up their grass, but I'm going to play some golf because I adore some golf. Can I get an amen? What you always have money for is something that you adore. You'll know you adore something if while you're in the midst of the experience, you lose track of time and care and concern. Because this is eliciting passion in you in a way that other things just can't seem to do it. Let me tell you another way that you know if you adore something is if you worry about it. Like if you lost it, if all things, would everything fall apart, that might be something that you adore, and we become like what we worship. Listen, what you worship influences the way that you dress, the way that you talk, behave, and it establishes what's important. And you might be thinking, wait, I don't worship other things, but yet success can become something that we worship. And there's a monicum or an ideal of what success should look like, and I shape my life, I shape my priorities, I shape the way that I behave, so that I can achieve the level of success that I have deemed what I'm running after because I actually adore it. Now, when I was in high school, when I was younger, you could tell a lot about teenagers based on the way that they dressed, which was influenced based on the way the music that they listened to. We had a lot of goths back then. We had ropers, which were into country music. We had people into hip-hop. And just by the way, I don't know if you know this, JNCO jeans are back. So if you were like, if you don't know what JNCO jeans are, you are blessed and highly favored. You could tell somebody's like, I don't even know what that. Don't worry about it. If you don't know, it's don't even Google it. You're better off. My point is, you could see the influence of music show up in the lives of teenagers. When you listen to a musician, I was preaching in a church a few months back, and I was watching the drummer go to town. He was good, nowhere near our drummers. It was cute how okay he was, but he was going to town. And I leaned over to the pastor, and I said, I'd be willing to bet $100,000 that guy is a Foo Fighter fan, and Dave Grohl is his idol. And he leaned over to me and goes, how did you know? I said, I could just tell. Because the way that he drummed was emulated and what had influenced him as a musician. Are y'all tracking with me? We become like what we worship. It determines and it shapes the character attributes of our life. And it's slowly copy and pasted onto our soul. We are being molded into an image. You become like what you worship. Now, when you were created, the scripture tells us that you were born in the image of God. And from the moment, just like when my daughter breathed new life, she was born with a sin nature. Now, she's never sinned. She's the most perfect individual. She was born with a sin nature. She was born in the image of God, but now internally, there is this war that says, I want to do what I want to do instead of doing what God wants me to do, right? And what I worship is going to shape that. Now, Satan knows that you and I were born in the image of God, and he hates it. In fact, his role in heaven was Lucifer, and he was the chief worship leader. And the Bible tells us that his entire exterior was made of jewels and diamonds and gems and gold and silver, and it was made that way so that whenever he was in the presence of God, he would reflect the goodness of God. But Satan got this idea that, wait, maybe I should be worshipped instead of God. And God said, no, it doesn't work that way, and he cast him out of heaven. You and I were born in the image of God, and Satan hates that. So he is constantly at war to get our attention by what we worship. Now look at me, he knows that the majority of normal, rational human beings are not going to lay down their life for Satan worship. Normal, rational human beings wouldn't do that. But he does know that we have a proclivity to worship success. We have a proclivity to worship money. We have a proclivity to worship fame. We have a proclivity to worship power. We have a proclivity to worship sex and sexuality. So he subtly is setting up constructs that are the opposite of God's heart for humanity and just suggesting subtle ways of just worship this, because he knows that what I worship, I slowly become like. Are you tracking with me? We become like what we worship. And we were created to worship God. In fact, it's the meaning of life. Not your divine, individual, unique purpose, but it's the meaning of life. And we'll get to this in a little bit. The meaning of life is to offer my life in sacrificial worship of the God who saved me. That's the reason I was created. So let's talk about some ingredients of worship. Is that cool? We're going to go through this pretty quickly, and then probably have the worship team come up, and we're going to spend a few moments together worshiping God and just see what he wants to do. Is that cool? Yeah. Even if it's not, we're going to do it anyways. So what are some ingredients of worship? Number one, sincerity and authenticity. Everybody say authenticity. Authenticity. Worship is a reflection of your true self. No pretense, no ulterior motives, but just who you truly are. And look at me, that should be beautiful. You know, when we begin to worship things other than our Creator, we live a life we were never created to live. And then we are constantly trying to convince ourselves, this is what I want. And as a byproduct, we're constantly trying to convince other people, no, this is what I want. And when we worship God, we just come sincerely and authentically as who I am. I'm removing all the additives. Just take, for instance, the food industry over the last 15 years, 20 years. There's been this major shift from processed, chemically charged foods to what? Organic. To actually eat the food as it originally is. Like, mind-blowing. You could eat this, that has a lot of chemicals in it. It's been mushed up and packaged together in a way we don't even know what it is. What is bologna? What is Velveeta cheese? We don't know. It tastes good, but it can survive a nuclear blast. It's not cheese. Even if you call it queso when it's melted in a crock pot at a Super Bowl party, it ain't queso. Can I get an amen? There's been this shift. Now, it doesn't exist in all the states. If you go down to the South, they're like, what is organic food? We love our Velveeta. I'll take an Oscar Mayer wiener if I can. Are y'all tracking with me? That's a horribly gross generalization, but also pretty true to all my Southern friends. No, it's a real story. I got to pause. We were in Alabama like 3 years ago. And just tired of clogging our arteries with just gravy. They put gravy on everything, okay? And just, you know, just like everything is heavy cream sauces, and you're just like, ah. And you can't, you know, nothing that was regular is regular anymore. Can I get an amen? And you're just like, God, I need a green juice. We found a Whole Foods, so we went in there to Whole Foods is gonna have a green juice. They had no green juices in Whole Foods. We were like, what demonic place is this? Let's get back into my notes, back into my message. There's been this shift over the last 15 years from not eating the foods to which everything has been added to it that is not a representative of what it is to eating organically because it is healthier to eat what it actually is. And what I believe this, I'm trying to correlate here and tie, is that when we worship, we don't have to pretend to be something that we are not. We don't have to pretend to know something that we don't know. We don't have to pretend before God that I have more Bible verses memorized than I really do. We don't have to pretend, look at me right here. We don't have to pretend that I wasn't making stupid choices last night as if God doesn't know it. We actually get to show up and just be who we are. In fact, the scripture says it like this in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us then fearlessly and confidently, look at this, and boldly draw near the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help us in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. This is in reference to the temple in biblical times. There was one place called the Holy of Holies, and that's where the presence of God would show up. And only one person could go there one time a year. And he wore jingle bells around his robe, and they tied a rope to his ankle because if he went into the Holy of Holies with an unclean heart, he would die instantly, and they would pull him out by the rope. Nobody was volunteering for that job. And he was a representation of the entire nation. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the veil, the curtain, which was 6 inches thick, was torn from the top to the bottom, the curtain that separated all of the rest of the children of Israel from the Holy of Holies. And so then Peter, or whoever wrote Hebrews, comes back and he says, hey, Jesus changed everything. You don't have to depend on one person one time a year. You can go confidently. You can go fearlessly. You can go boldly before the presence of God on your own, just as you are. That, my friends, is beautiful. Far too often, we don't take advantage of the fact that God is just saying, I want you just as you are. Key ingredients of worship: sincerity and authenticity. Number two, wholehearted engagement. Another way you could say that is with everything. To engage my body, my soul, and my spirit. You know what the word engage means? To keep your attention. Like I'm trying to engage you as I'm preaching to keep your attention. That's why I'll talk about Velveeta and you laugh. I'm like, oh, I got him. I'll stay here for a minute. Are y'all tracking? I want to keep your attention. So that's what engage means, to keep your attention. It also means to get involved. I'm going to engage in helping my friend when he moves out of his house. Or to engage is like when it comes to machinery, like to shift, to engage the clutch so we can shift gears and get this set in motion. But to engage also means to pledge oneself. Wow. Like when I proposed to Megan, we got engaged and we pledged ourselves to each other. We hadn't walked down the aisle yet, but we pledged ourselves to each other. And that's a great ingredient of worship, is that I'm just wholeheartedly engaged. I'm saying, God, I'm 100% yours, body, soul, and spirit. Every aspect of who I am. There's two types of worship, two types of wholehearted engagement. One of them is worship through singing. The reason that we sing before services or after services or during services is because music matters. Music connects. Music heals. And when you give holy intentionality to music, the supernatural takes place. But we also worship because God asks us to. He asks us to. In Psalm 100, it says this: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful, what's that word? Psalms. Say that word again. Psalms. It's not just because we want to make sure those latecomers get here on time for the preaching. We know who you are. See, I engaged you. You laughed. I said it like I felt. Y'all feel what I'm saying? Okay, moving on. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Look at this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So this can happen in a corporate environment, and it should happen in a corporate environment, because God has set it up this way. Yeah. Corporate means we're together, but also this should happen in your own life daily. Every morning at my house, within 30 minutes of getting up, we have worship music all throughout the house. We start our day with that. We'll sing along with the songs, not like standing up like, no, 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 not weird like that. But we sing along with the songs. Why? Because it's connecting our heart. I'm posturing my life to refocus my attention back on who God is and what he's doing. You need it. Hey, let me just get, like, we lift our hands because God said, lift up holy hands. It's his preference. And don't act like it's weird. If you are into sports and your team wins, what do you do? Even if you're the most closet introvert, you might do this. Went to Coldplay concert. My wife got me Coldplay tickets to the Rose Bowl. She's awesome too, but Coldplay was great. She also got me Stapleton tickets at the Hollywood Bowl this summer. I love me some good music. Anybody else like some good music? Yeah. And they had the Coldplay had the LED wrist bracelets on. And about every two or three verses and choruses, Chris Martin would go, throw up your hands. And you know what's so weird? 62,000 people, no one raised their hands. Because they're like, this is so weird. Why would we lift our hands? This is so, why are people in here? Not a person. Hello, Emily. Not a person. She's visiting back in town. Good to see you. Not a person in the arena was like, why are we lifting our hands? This is so strange. No, you know what happened instantly?
Yeah.
And then a light show took place. And I thought, what a type and shadow of when the church community comes together and we lift up holy hands and it brings honor and glory to God. And he's like, those are my people. We sing because he said, come before him with joyful songs. And you sing. You have your jam. Whatever it is. It comes on in the car. Or maybe it's just more chill. Whatever. I don't care what it is. I'll jam with you. We can do that. But you got your song. And you know every word to it. Because when you were in high school, you looked at the lyrics because you so that your friends knew you could sing the song, y'all. If you have Lose Yourself memorized, you're exactly who I'm talking about. And I almost did that one, but it was just all not appropriate for church. But I was thinking it. Because you better lose yourself in the moment. You own it. You better never. Okay, stop right there. We're moving on. Y'all feel what I'm saying? So why would we honor Marshall Mathers, who's done absolutely nothing for me, by rehearsing the lyrics of my favorite walk-up song and jamming loud and fail to walk in to a congregation of people who are centered around the goodness and faithfulness of God? And why would we walk into that moment and all of a sudden become reserved? For the one who actually gave everything for you. For the one who says, I know where you've been. I know your past. I know your mistakes. But bigger than all that, I know your future. And I love you. And I want all of you. You know, just thinking about too, you know, Mother's Day, we always do little videos for moms here. We record all your kids.
Because my mom, I love her, because she makes me lunch, and she's so, always when I cry, she holds me, and I love her because she does my laundry, and we laugh, so cute, right?
Because the kid, a little narcissistic, consumer. You don't love your mom. You love her, she's your slave. You don't love her. You love that she does things for you. And it's so cute. And sometimes we can turn on worship when we're in a crisis because we need God to move again. And the beauty is that even just like a mom, watching that video, she doesn't feel like a slave. She feels like, oh, I love my kid. I'm going to give you, and I'll keep making you sandwiches. I'm going to keep doing your laundry until you're 16, maybe 15, but I love you. And so when we need something from God and we're worshiping God and we're giving him our heart and we're like, God, I need you desperately. He's like, okay, I got you, boo. I got you. In fact, I love you more than you know, so I'm going to help you get what you need more than just what you want. But something shifts in the atmosphere when I'm not just worshiping God because of what I need from him, but I'm just worshiping God because of who he is. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. I'm just worshiping God. All because you've been so faithful. You saved me. You pulled me out of the muck and mire of my sin. But God, you're good. You're good. And something shifts in my heart. Something shifts in my life. When I just worship God for who he is. Are you with me? So I worship God with my song, but I also worship God with my life. In Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He says, just make sure your life isn't an offering of praise to God. And the verses immediately following this, they're all about how we interact with each other. The Bible says it's the marks of a Christian. which means that how I interact with you is a sign of worship to God. When I show you kindness and I don't want to, when I choose to forgive you and you've hurt me, when I'm patient with you when you're annoying, I'm just worshiping God. The last ingredient of worship that's needed is consistency. Build a discipline of it daily and weekly. Good news is we're helping you weekly. Get here on time. When I went to Coldplay, I made sure we were in Los Angeles hours before the concert. Mapped out the route, paid for parking. I was not going to miss that concert, every minute of it. We had box seats, free food, baby. I wanted all of it. Don't become so comfortable with church that it's okay if you leave 5-10 minutes late. You're not doing a disservice to me. You're doing a disservice to our God. Because there's something about corporate worship. That was a little harsh, but it's for you. Let me invite the worship team out here. We're just going to thank you, brother. We're just going to take a minute and just close our service out with some worship. And just do me a favor. Go ahead and just stand to your feet quietly and reverently. And maybe change those lights for me. Maybe you're here and you're that quiet introvert and you're like, I will not raise my hands. I don't care how good looking this preacher is. Okay, don't. That's fine. I will not sing. Okay, cool. You don't do anything you don't want to do. But let me just challenge you, just kick it up a notch. If you never raise your hands, try it today. Just do like the Baptist thing right here. Nobody has to see you. You can do this if you feel good about it. That's fine. Just close your eyes. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's just focus our attention on who God is. Let's kill that haze. Let's just close our eyes, put our attention on who God is. And maybe you just start with right where you're at, just telling God how much you love him. Just tell him how much you're grateful for him. And as we sing this song, why don't you just choose to open your mouth and sing it. Come on, maybe let God hear you say these words. Come on, just lift your voices. Just declaring the goodness of God. We worship you, God. Come on, lift your voices and your hands. Let's sing this out.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
And you're the name above all. Something shifts when we worship God. It's almost as if by design, we as a people were designed to worship Him. And it's always in worship that God shows up in a different way. I live in San Clemente. That's where my residence is. Look at me. God's residence is in our worship. He shows up in a different way when we worship. Don't rob God of your worship and your praise. And don't rob yourself of experiencing the fullness of who God is. Let's be a church who chooses to worship boldly. Amen. Amen. Hey, give me 30 seconds. All eyes up here. Right here in this moment, in this posture of praise. I want to just talk to those of you who need to begin the journey with Jesus. There's a starting line. And the beautiful thing is, it's a simple starting line. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. And He tells us that in John 3:16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." That means it's available to everyone, and all we have to do is believe. And if you're here and you've never begun that journey, in just a moment, with no embarrassment to you, you get to do just that. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want to challenge you to make the prayer I pray your own. And if you're here and you've been running from God, today's the day to come running back. Why don't you make this your own? One more time, all around the room, heads bowed, eyes closed, whether you're in the family room or online, if you're here and you need to make this decision your own, just repeat this prayer after me in the smallness of your heart or a quiet whisper. Just say, "Dear God, I know that You love me, that You've given me purpose, but I'm not perfect. Would You forgive me?" And now make this statement your own. Just say, "Jesus, I give You my life in Jesus' name." Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody moving, nobody looking around. If you're here and you pray that prayer with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you let me in on the journey? It's why I exist. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, just put your hand up and put it back down. You're saying, "Pastor Kerry, I prayed that prayer. It's a new day for me." If that's you, on the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. Lift your hands. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Thank You. Thank You. Anyone else? Wow, 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 wow. Anyone else? God, we just thank You for what You're doing in this place. We thank You that You're up to the miraculous, the supernatural, that You're going beyond what we could ask or imagine. But God, I just pray today that You would inhabit the praises of Your people. I thank You for who You are and what You've done. But God, today we just worship and glorify You. In Jesus' mighty and precious name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, Movement Church, would you help me in giving a hand clap for the men and women who prayed that prayer? Come on.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.